Blog Talk Radio. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Brenda here from The Breast Show and The Breast Show Radio. And today we are here with a very special episode. We're going to feature some information to help make our vendors successful at The Breast Show or any trade show they go to. We're so thrilled to have you here, and we're also thrilled to share that The Breast Show in Town is proud to present its next event, April 17th, at the Best Western Lamplighter Inn in London, Ontario, from 8:30 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Visit www.breastshowintown.ca for the latest updates as we move closer to our big day. Breast cancer is preventable, and pretty much any cancer in that regard is preventable, along with chronic illness. Knowledge is the key. And from our great expert speakers at the event, breakout sessions, vendors, and so much more, you're going to get information that is life-changing, life-sustaining, life-promoting, and so much more. Come and purchase your raffle ticket to win a chance at a Fiat convertible for a weekend. Where would you go if you were driving a Fiat for a weekend with the top down? There'll be strolling fashion shows and entertainment as well as life-changing information. So come on down to The Breast Show in Town, April 17th. You can get your tickets online at www.ca, breastshowintown.ca. And also, we have a Groupon special going on right now. So if you're in Groupon, look for the Breast Show special. Get your tickets for 2, 4, or 6 attendees and make some magic happen for yourself and for your friends. This edition of the Breast Show Radio features the top 3 tips for vendors to make the most of their Breast Show experience. Rebecca Liston, ND and business expert, is our very, very special guest. Rebecca Liston helps her clients predict, pivot, and compete in an increasingly complex global marketplace. Her clients quickly uncover the root of their challenges and know the actions to take to overcome them. A 6-time nominee for the RBC Canadian Woman Entrepreneur Award, Rebecca combines business strategy with intuition, giving her clients the edge on forward thinking, elegant answers to their most complicated problems, and so much more. Her clients include CEOs, executives, and entrepreneurs. She is based in London, Ontario. What if you could get the answer to your biggest business challenge in one sitting? Visit RebeccaListon.com to learn how. And with that, Rebecca, welcome to Breast Show Radio.
Thank you so much, Brenda. I'm giggling in the background because it's so hard to spit out Breast Show in Town a number of times over and over again, isn't it?
You're right. I mean, it is a tongue twister for sure. I really had to practice some linguistic acrobats to be able to do that.
It's kind of making me giggle because, I mean, so many times, you know, over the years, having done so many things with Pat Kennedy, and it, you know, it was always Breast Show, Breast Show. And you realize afterwards, like, how many times you can say the word breast in, you know, in 22 seconds, right? After a while, it does become a bit of a twist. So.
I love it. I love it. Yes, it is really amazing. And say it without blushing. That's another thing, too.
I know. Yep, exactly.
Well, Rebecca, we're thrilled to have you here because, you know, lots of times people get into trade shows and they really don't know how to maximize their experience. Some people have a natural chutzpah to it, but other people need to kind of know how to maximize it. It's not always necessarily about how many sales you make at an event, but it's all about the contacts and really how to milk your audience to create a lasting impression, right?
Absolutely, and I would agree with you. Some people... You know, as with anything, I find some people are just naturals at anything, right? Some people can just get up on the stage and wow their audience without a PowerPoint, without even thinking about what they were going to say. Other people can do that with the written word, right? And mm-hmm. other people are masters at the trade show, right? They really are. They've got it down. And so we all have our skills. But what I'm hoping, you know, we can sort of talk about tonight, Brenda, is how everyone can maximize it, right? No matter who you are and how you function in the world, there's a way that you can maximize your vendor experience because it's very disappointing, right? If you go in to this type of experience and come out feeling like you've missed the mark somehow. And so tonight, I think, you know, our purpose in this conversation is really to make sure that everybody realizes they're not missing the mark at all, right?
That's
right. Really the key.
Exactly. So just for our audience's sake, a little bit more, because, you know, I can read a bio and I can stumble through words and things like that, but it doesn't really give us the true essence of who you are. So I wondered if you could just share with us, how did you uncover your Reader's Digest version of your current really special secret sauce? And that's really helping people to transform from, you know, ordinary to extraordinary in their mm-hmm. business and really find their essence.
Thank you, because that sums it up beautifully, because that really is what I like to focus in on. So very quickly, again, Reader's Digest version, because I could write an entire book on how the heck I landed here. But my background is in diagnostic imaging, which is, you know, therefore my passion and interest in thermography itself, because my background is actually in medicine as a sonographer. So I spent many years in hospitals and clinics doing ultrasound. So diagnostic imaging, you know, led me, you know, very much into a career in health, which then I decided I was going to make a move into alternative and complementary medicine. I graduated 14 years ago as a homeopath from the Canadian College of Homeopathic Medicine, and then became involved very intricately with Pat Kennedy. We worked together. We shared an office together at the thermography clinic for many years. And have done a lot of work through that. And then as my own practice evolved, I started to really realize that the thing that I loved the most about my practice was actually running the business of it. I mean, I love homeopathy and everything that it stands for. It is who I am at my core. But what I love doing is taking my understanding of people and how we all tick and what makes us different and unique, all of those things that I needed to know as a homeopath, and help bring that to the forefront of the business owners that I work for. Like, how do we get to understand ourselves as business owners, and then how does that impact our business moving forward? And it does mean the difference between an ordinary and an extraordinary business. And I kind of honestly fell into it, Brenda, and you know that because we've talked about my story. I did not anticipate the evolution that my career would have. But I have never been happier. And because my huge passion is healthcare, right? It's what I've been involved in my whole life. Mm-hmm. I have a special soft spot in my heart for, you know, people who do alternative and complementary medicine. And so much of my client base has always been in natural health, whether it's helping people who are running yoga studios, chiropractors, nutritionists, homeopaths, naturopaths, you know, you fill in the blank. I think I don't know that there's a modality out there that I haven't actually had a client who does, right, you know, at some point. So everything has been fair game, and I just really believe that we need to spread the word about natural and alternative medicine so that it becomes mainstream. And one of the key ways to do that, and I mean, I don't mean to be crass about it, but we have to be making money as practitioners so mm-hmm. that, you know, we can build our own sense of, so we can build our own confidence, which then also allows us to be seen as more credible to the outside world. And I think that's really critical. So if I can help, you know, those of us in this industry to build our businesses to be bigger, bolder, stronger, more out there, that means you need money to do that, frankly. And so making money is key. And that mm-hmm. just helps build our visual in the world.
Well, and that's definitely it. The days of the broke healer who could walk down the street, put
yes.
their hands on somebody and get a chicken or a meal or a bed or something
yes.
are over. You know.
Yes.
So we have to stop that, right? Giving everything
yeah,
away for
we have
free.
To be yeah, we have to be paid with something, and I often call that broke back healer syndrome, actually. And I've written blog articles on this, you know, talking about it, and I'm like, you know, really, even those healers, you know, had to be paid with something, right? They did. They got a chicken. There was exchange, right? In our world today, we need to be exchanged with frankly, cold, hard cash, because that's what you need to pay your hydro bill. They don't
yes.
like it when you show up at London Hydro with a chicken.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
You know,
so the key.
Whole thing, right? Like, really, honestly, some people say, well, you can't be holistic and you can't be spiritual and make money at the same time. And the truth is, you can and you should, right?
Yes, you must, actually, because I think that that's somebody, you know, often getting caught in some sort of paradox, right, where we think it's a paradox that in order to help and to heal, we shouldn't be paid for that. But that is a paradox that we've created in our own minds. It actually doesn't exist. It's not actually true, right? Everything has value. Right. And it's actually, I feel, it's our number one way of representing the fact that we believe in ourselves and we have our own self-value, is that we can feed ourselves and clothe ourselves. That means we value ourselves and the work that we do. And if we're not being paid to do it, then we can't do those things. What are we saying about how we feel about ourselves as individuals? And then what kind of message does that send out to the world and to our clients? We're talking to our clients about how they must value themselves and put themselves up as their number one priority and take care of their health and invest money in their health care or, you know, invest time, energy, money in their health care. But we're sitting there saying, yeah, but you know what, I don't want to be paid and I don't want to feed my family and I'd rather not clothe my family and I don't want to shelter my family. Like, is that really what we're saying? I don't think that makes sense. It doesn't add up and it doesn't resonate, in my opinion.
No. No, it doesn't. And in fact, the better we can monetize ourselves and make our business successful, the more people we can reach, the more we can
absolutely,
the more we can share and teach, you know, and help the next
yes.
generation.
Yes, you cannot, you know, we have to have the money behind us in the world today in order to reach a larger audience, in order to keep doing the work that we can. I've often said, you know, you can't heal the world if you're working at 7-Eleven selling cigarettes and soda pop, because you couldn't make a business out of your healing practice, right? What will happen then is that you will end up working at 7-Eleven selling cigarettes and soda pop. Well, that's not your purpose. You know, I believe we all have a soul's purpose and we have a reason for being here, and it's our duty, if you will, to fulfill that. And I don't think any healer was born and, you know, came into their healing gifts and has the skills that they have, you know, to be stuck pumping gas, right?
Yep, exactly. Well, it's just like, you know, I'm an RN, and
yes.
I do work in healthcare still, because I feel it's really hard to separate the RN from, you know, bedside nursing and the healing arts and that sort of thing, and we're paid well, and an RN who's earning half as much is not going to be, you know, obviously fulfilling their fullest mission as somebody who's working at that level. So same in any profession. You want to be at the top
mm-hmm.
of your game. You want to be
mm-hmm.
respected. You want to be seen for who you are and heard, right?
Yes, professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. When you're stepping up to be a professional in your world of healthcare, then that means, you know, valuing yourself, paying yourself first and putting yourself at the top of your own priority list.
Right. So I think, you know, Rebecca, we had such an amazing conversation a couple of days back, and, you know, it was so genuine, so heartfelt. You can feel the nurturance coming out of you, the helpfulness, and just the really the caring. I know that, you know, in your work that's what makes you successful, is the fact that the more you can care about your clients and being solution-oriented, the more your clients are going to come back and respect you and want more of what you've got. So wondered if in our conversation we were talking about how can we help our vendors to maximize their experience. So if we've got it in our A game that we are professionals and that we are going to be representing our business to the fullest that we can, and we want to attract to us the clients, and a trade show or an event like the Breast Show in town is a perfect venue. You don't know who's going to cross your path, whether or not they are actually looking for your services. And maybe if you have the right, you know, chutzpah about you, you might even attract people to you who weren't even looking for you. So I wondered if you could share with us some of the top three secret sauce, special ammunition that you have to help somebody to maximize their experience.
For sure. I'll list them off, and then we can talk about them one by one. So the first one is know why you're there, which sounds really ridiculously simple, but it's actually not. So know why you're there. Know who you are. And again, I'll explain these a little bit further in a minute. And the third one is leave them smiling.
Love it.
Yeah. So the first one, let's dive into that one. Know why you're there. So a lot of times when we make the decision to be a vendor at an event, and of course I've done this, I mean, more times than I can even count at this point in my career. Sometimes the events were mine, and some of the people listening, to this have probably been vendors at my events over the years, right? So I've been the event holder, I've been the vendor at other people's events, and so all of these things apply. So knowing why you're going to be at this event is really key. And the reason, there is only one reason ever to be a vendor at any event such as this, and the reason is relationships. Now, you then need to know which type and what, there are different relationships that you want to be mindful of when you're a vendor at any event. And one of the key things is recognizing which relationship that day is going to be the most important for you. Okay? So, as a vendor, my number one relationship that I might really be focused on is with the person who's running that event, the person whose event it is that I am exhibiting at. I might really want to hone that and tighten that relationship with that person. So the entire reason, the whole reason that I might decide to be an exhibitor at an event is because I want to get closer to the person who's having the event. Now, that might sound a little funny, but let me explain with an example. You might be insanely passionate about health and wellness, and you might see a person like Patricia Kennedy who has worked her tail off for more years than, I've known her. I've worked with her for 10 years. So, and she was at this much longer than that. She has worked her tail off to put herself always in the forefront, of every movement for complementary and alternative medicine in our community. Healthcare before that as a nurse, right? And then now complementary and alternative medicine, right, in our community. To be in alignment and to forge and solidify a relationship with somebody like Pat is reason enough alone. Okay? Because you do not know what could even result of that. Perhaps she has you on her radio show one day. Perhaps you end up a speaker on her stage down the road as your own business evolves and your experience gains and you become out there more and you become a top expert in your field. Maybe you're on the stage 5 years from now at the next Breast Show 5 years down the road, right? That relationship in and of itself is a key reason to be an exhibitor. Another relationship to keep your eye on is the relationship with other vendors who are at other exhibitors who are at a show. Those have often been my key relationships that have evolved for myself as an exhibitor have been with the other exhibitors. So when things are quiet and there, you know, maybe there's a breakout session going on and the people who are actually attending the event are in breakout sessions and they're not wandering through the exhibitor tables, you need to be talking to each other. You need to meet one another. Use it as an opportunity to go meet and greet my best friends. People who are my closest friends now were exhibitors at other at trade shows the same time that I was. I also have met some of my practitioners through trade shows. My acupuncturist, God rest her beautiful and lovely soul, Ann Rich, we originally met as fellow exhibitors at an event, right? And she was my acupuncturist, became one of my dearest friends. She's now passed away. God love her. But, you know, what a great relationship that I forged with another vendor. You've no idea what joint excitement can come out of those relationships. And the third key relationship, of course, is with the people who are in attendance at the event. Those are the people wandering around that you're going to chat up. They may become your clients one day. Somebody they know might become your client down the road. They might call you tomorrow. They might call you in 6 years. But those are the three key relationships. Relationships is why you're at this event. That's why you're there. And I think sometimes we get lost thinking we go to an event as an exhibitor and we're there to make money. Mm-hmm. That's actually not true. You're there to forge relationships. So I think that's the number one thing I would suggest.
I love it, and it's true. You know, this is the thing. There's, you know, you go to a trade show or an event, and yes, you know, you get to feel the essence of the people that are there of representing mm-hmm. their businesses. And you can actually, before you even talk to the person, their aura talks to you. And mm-hmm. it's really, really important to make sure that you have your head on straight for the game of being present
yep.
at a show and really making sure that you are as polished and ready to shine because you just never know. You never know who is going to who's going to be there.
That's right, and that's a perfect segue, really, Brenda, to my second point, which is you have to know who you are. Right, so you're talking about that idea of being in your on your A game, right? You have to be at the top of your own personal skill set. And each of us has a different skill set, right? And I remember when you and I were talking about this the other day over dinner, I said to you, you know, I learned early on, right, who I was when it came to being an exhibitor, right? You stick me behind a table and expect me to talk to people walking by, there is no hope in hell. Like, it is just not going to happen. I'm terrible at it. It is not my style. Because truth be told, I'm actually an introvert. And so, although nobody ever believes me when I tell them that, but it's true. I'm very introverted. So if I'm stuck behind a table in a booth, if that's the way I've set up my exhibitor experience, I'll stand there like a wallflower and nobody will even know I exist at that show because I have not set up my experience to match who I am. And standing behind a table is not who I am. I do really well when I'm on the other side of the table, when the table is behind me. And mm-hmm. when I've got something in my hand and a conversation to start, that's my style. I am more apt to talk to people about what they're wearing and what day it was and how their grandmother is than really mm-hmm. anything else. So that's who I am. Other people thrive when they're behind the table because anybody walking by, they're like, hey, you know, check out my thing and here's this display on that and here's a little video you can watch on my monitor. Like, they do beautifully that way. That's who they are, right? And then there's the people who love to do demos. Right, they're the people who will sit there from 9 a.m. at their booth till 4 p.m. when it closes, and every 15 minutes they've got someone in the chair doing a reflexology demo.
Yep.
Right, that's how they shine. They shine by being active. They shine by showing. Right, and so it's really key to know what is your strong point. How do you shine? Do you shine by talking? Right, by grabbing people's attention and handing them pamphlets and talking to them and pointing at stuff at the pamphlet and saying, take a little look and, okay, maybe you want to watch this video. Do you shine by doing in front of them, by doing a demo? Or are you like me and you just shine really by saying, hey, I really love that shirt that you're wearing. You look great in purple. Mm-hmm. Right? So know
also,
how you shine.
That also then leads to positioning your booth or your table to reflect your personality.
Absolutely. So like I was saying, I can't stand behind a table. I can have a table behind me. And in that case, when the table is behind me, it's there only so that I can store crap on it. Right? It's there to hold my water. It's there to hold my business cards so that I can grab them and hand them out. Right?
Right.
But that's all it is. It's not a display for me. For the person who loves to have a piece of paper in their hand or a flyer and point to stuff on it and put, you know, point at pictures or a monitor, then they will be behind a table.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And for the person who's doing demo, they'll probably not really want a table at all. Maybe just as something small tucked away because they'll need their chair there or whatever they need to do their work, right, so that people can watch and see.
Exactly. That's great. And let's move on to the third because believe it or not, our time is flying.
I know.
Rebecca.
It goes fast. I'll talk as quick as I can. So the last one is very simple, and it's leave them smiling.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I find people do, one of the big error people make and when they sign up to do a vendor show is they spend too much money on, I call it swag or stuff to hand out. So I highly recommend that you spend less money on stuff like brochures and pamphlets and pens and candy and I don't know what else people hand out, you know, everything. You name it, you've seen it. And spend more time focusing on having a connective conversation. You can get a lot more bang for your proverbial buck as an exhibitor by having one beautiful business card, preferably, by the way, folks, with your photograph on it. Yes, your photo. There's a reason real estate agents across the world do that. Have a picture of yourself on that business card and have a meaningful conversation. People will remember you far more than they will by the glitzy, glamoury thing that you gave them. So less money on swag, more emphasis on the conversation that you have with the people and the connection that you make. That's the critical piece.
That's beautiful.
God, did I spit it out in time?
You did. You did. You're amazing. You know, it's so invaluable to hear this information because, you know, it is. It's the simple things. Keep it simple. Know your style. Create a presence, and really, really connect with people and keep it that way.
Yep.
And
that's why you're there.
There. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, you know, and never be surprised, right? And I told you the story, Brenda, about somebody finding my business card like 6 years after I did some show and calling me up saying, way back at the Women's Lifestyle Show in 1998, I saw you and Pat Kennedy speak or whatever the heck year it was. It was a million years ago. It was like one of the first Women's Lifestyle shows ever. And she dug my business card out of the back of a junk drawer. You know what I mean? You don't know. You can't do a tally at the end of the day, count it up and say, I've got $5 in my pocket. I didn't make a profit. That is not how the vendor experience works. So focus on the relationships. Present yourself in the way that you are who you are. Set yourself up for that success and leave them smiling. And you will walk away with more profit from doing that event than you can ever calculate with a calculator.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so very much. And Rebecca, just let everybody know how they can get in touch with you if they have other questions or would like to work with you.
Oh, thanks, Brenda. I appreciate that. So for people in the health and wellness industry, you may want to check out www.makingyourpracticeprofitable.com. Makingyourpracticeprofitable.com. But you can also look at my parent website, which is just Rebecca Liston, RebeccaListon.com, and it has all of the information about all the coaching and consulting that I do there, too. So thank you, Brenda. What a pleasure.
Well, it's been wonderful. And, Rebecca, this is just a tip of the iceberg of what we can collaborate on together because as we launch Eve's List, we definitely want to pull on your to help more holistic practitioners in who join our directory to be seen and heard in wonderful and magnificent ways. So, Rebecca, we love you, and we're so thrilled to be working with you. And for
it's
you
my
taking
pleasure.
Time. Aw, that is cool. So, So we are at the end of this version of Breast Show Radio, and I hope that this has been beneficial for our vendors or any of our visitors who are in the business of helping others to succeed in their life and their world and their work, and that this information will help you take your game to a new level and a new experience at the Breast Show in town. And we keep anybody who wants to know, April 17th at the Lamplighter Inn in London. That's where it is, from 8:30 to 4 p.m. And Rebecca, thank you for being such a wonderful guest. We look forward to further connections. Bye for now.
Thank you again, Brenda. Good night.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.